Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Riffin' with Griffin. This is episode 8, our special Christmas episode, a little early Christmas gift. And I'm here for you and with another special theme song. I don't know a lot about Christmas, but there's just one thing I need. I don't need no presents underneath that Christmas tree. I just want a podcast of my own, more than you could ever know. I'ma make your wish come true. 'Cause all I need from Christmas is Riffin' with Griffin. Yeah, Merry Christmas, y'all. All I need is Riffin' with Griffin. Riffin' with Griffin is good. Turn on that podcast now. Don't you wish you could? 'Cause all I want for Christmas is Eric Griffin and you. Oh, man. I mean, I know I'm a damn fool, but Merry Christmas, everybody. I got my Christmas sweater on. I'm giving you an early gift. This is Riffin' with Griffin, episode 8. And thank you, everybody, that has been subscribing and writing comments, and I've gotten theme songs people have sent me. It's just been a tremendous ride. I'm glad you guys are on the journey with me, and we'll just see where it goes, right? I'm having a good time doing this, and I appreciate everybody that is sending me love. All right, so today's episode 8 of Riffin' with Griffin, episode 7, I told you I was going to do this. So today we're going to be talking about 3 things. But the main thing is I'm going to talk to you about how to be a stand-up comedian. What you should do, I'm going to just give you my thoughts about stand-up comedy. That's why I'm standing up right now, so I can give you that stand-up comedy energy. And, you know, so that's what the main core of the episode is going to be about. And I keep telling you I like doing these different segments. I've only done one real segment, but this is another one. It's called What You Need to Do. And this goes out to Google. I was on the phone with my mom, who is over 70, and I'm on the phone with her for like 2 hours trying to explain to her how to work her Google Gmail. Her Gmail, she can't figure it out. Like, she says she gets like 100 messages, right? And then the screen only shows 25 messages at a time. So if she doesn't check her emails, all the messages get pushed down to the next page. And she can't figure out how to get to the next page. And when you look at the Google homepage, the motherfucker is complicated. It's too complicated. Like, you gotta have a freaking degree at the Learning Annex to figure out how to send and receive an email if you're not computer savvy at all. They think they're helping you out with all these options and tabs and categories and all this nonsense. Hey, Google, make the shit easy for people that are not computer savvy, okay? You think you're helping with all that bullshit, but you're not, because I'm on the phone with my mom for 2 hours and she still can't figure this shit out. So that was a little quickie of what you need to do. That's for Google. All right, next is, before I talk about being a stand-up comedian, is I saw the movie Creed 2. And I want to talk about it. Creed 2 review. I don't want to just completely trash the movie, because like, I've been on shows, I've been on things, and I hate when critics just bash you. So let me try to be respectful as I can. But I'm not a fan of this movie. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Creed 2, go watch it. I mean, the first Creed I enjoyed because how Michael P. Jordan acts. His angst that he had in the movie, I think it lent itself to that story. This guy trying to like live in his father's footsteps, and you know, his father who was a legend, and he's trying to build his own way. But I just don't think it worked in Creed 2. A couple things I didn't like about Creed 2. First of all, I love how they brought Drago back, right? But then when you hear Drago's story, you're like, damn, you know, he lost everything. He was the villain in the first one. Okay, he was the villain. And now he has this son who he's training to box. But he lost everything. His wife left him. Everybody abandoned him. So now he's like a scourge of society. So now he's raising his son for, you know, for revenge. And his son works in a cement factory or whatever. And he's got to go out and brawl, fight in these like really dingy fighting places. And but what ends up happening is you feel for this character. You feel for the son. Like, you know, Baby Drago is not the villain in this movie. To me, he was the hero. He's got this abusive father, and his mother literally left him. His mom, his deadbeat mom, left him. His father's cruel and abusive, and pushing him to the point of like where you don't even know what the purpose of this is in anymore. And then, you know, they have this fight, right? And then I literally was like, well, I want Drago to win. I thought he was a more sympathetic character. Now, some people out there would be like, well, this is good. They did it differently. It only would have been different if Creed would have lost. Because here you have this guy. He's this spoiled, you know, his wife is an R&B singer. She's got a contract. His mom lives in a great mansion. He's got this great legacy, the Creed legacy. You know, he wasn't a sympathetic character. I did not like him at all in comparison to this other guy. The fact that, you know, Creed wins in the end, I just was like, I don't like this. I just did not like that at all. And then to top it all off, why did they make their baby deaf? Because in the movie, Tessa Thompson plays a character where she's got bad hearing. So she finally has a baby with Creed. And then like, they're worried that this kid's gonna not hear. And then they made it in the movie that the baby's deaf. What? Give us a win, man. Like, this was unnecessary drama. So much crying in this movie and like unbelievable angst and drama for no reason at all. You know, you want the comeback story. You want, you know, Creed beats him up. I think it would have been better if young Drago, if he was like a villainous type character. But you felt for him. You were like, damn, this kid grew up horrible. His mom left him. His dad's an asshole. And now he's got to get beat up by this American like his father got beat up. What's the point in that? Anyways, Riffin McGriffin gives Creed 2 a... I gave it a, you know, I wasn't a fan. I have a UFC fighter friend, my buddy Eric Koch, who we're on Worst Fighter Team Ever together. If you like video games, you want to watch some people play video games, check out Worst Fighter Team. That's my other podcast I'm on. But Eric's a fighter, so he's all like, I loved it. I loved the fighting and the training, and it was realistic. And I was like, no, bro, this, like, all the story stuff just did not grab me. But anyways, I'm going to actually have him on and we'll talk about it some more. But so that's my second segment talking about Creed 2. I wasn't a fan of it, but, you know, there's some entertaining points. So I'm just not going to completely trash the movie. But there you go. So we got what you need to do. And there's my movie review. So now the point of today's podcast is all those people out there who have been sending me messages about, hey, I want to be a comedian. I want to do comedy, or I've always wanted to do it. So let's talk about becoming a comic and what I believe you should do, and just talking a little finer points about stand-up comedy. You know, when I the reason why I wanted to be a comic was because I just felt funny. Like, I would say things to people even when I was in like fifth grade, and people would laugh at what I was saying. And, you know, then you grow up and you're like, oh, you actually can make a living, you know, being funny. Or, you know, and I remember when I was a basketball coach, I used to yell at the kids, and the way I would yell and the way I would be passionate about what I was talking about, the crowd would be laughing. So, you know, I'm putting on a show and I'm like, yo, I'm really upset. Why the hell y'all laughing? And it comes to find out that I'm just a funny dude like that. So I got into stand-up comedy. So look, if you're thinking about it and you've been sitting on your ass and you're like, what do I do? Or you're scared or nervous. There's really nothing to be nervous about. One thing I would suggest is if there's some stand-up comedy class in your area and you've never done any kind of performance art, I would suggest that you go take a class. Just take one class, because it's a comfortable environment and you'll have other like-minded people who are nervous about public speaking, which is still like, I think the number one fear in America is public speaking, even over death. So take a class about public speaking, communications or something, so you can, you know, get past that fear. And a class will help you get past that fear because it's a comfortable environment. All right. The next thing I would suggest too is like, just start writing. Like, start writing what you think is funny, because ultimately that's what stand-up comedy is retelling something that you think is funny. And the joke, the construction of the joke is explaining why you think something is funny. That's the setup, punchline, and everything that comes after that. How you explain stuff is like, you know, that's the important part of stand-up comedy is like, you know, like when you hear somebody retell a story, like say somebody tells a story and they're like, oh, you know, you had to be there, you know? When somebody says you had to be there, that tells me that they are a horrible storyteller. Because why something is funny or what are you talking about? Like, these are important concepts. So like, you know, when you are like retelling somebody a story, you have to set up what the story is about, where you were, who was there, the circumstances, because all those things will put people in the mindset of like, oh, I get why this is funny. Because that's what you really what you're trying to do is you're trying to get the crowd to relate to why you think something is funny. Why do you think it's funny? So understanding why something is funny is very important. Because if you understand why it's funny and you understand what you're talking about, that's going to lend itself to understanding your own personal point of view. So I definitely suggest that you just start writing so you can like see, like, this is what I think is funny. Because then you got to start explaining why you think it's funny. I mean, that is really like, you know, there's no right or wrong way. You know, let's just go there too. There's no right or wrong way to do comedy. There's just like subjective feelings about it. Like somebody might go up and you'd be like, well, this guy doesn't have a funny bone in his body and I just never laughed one time. It doesn't mean that what they're doing is wrong. Might not even be your cup of tea, but that's just what happens, you know? So, you know, knowing yourself, that's the first thing. Like, why do people laugh at you? Like for me, I'm just a funny looking guy and I'm passionate about things that maybe I shouldn't be passionate about. And I just have a way of talking about things. And then so people are like, oh my God, that's funny. Now, is it what I was saying that made it funny? Or is it how I was saying it that made it funny? There's different styles there too. You got somebody like Seinfeld, who he's a wordsmith. He knows exactly what words he's going to say. He constructs a sentence a certain way that after he says that sentence, you go, oh man, that was funny. What he just said. And maybe you're laughing because you appreciate the effort that he put into this sentence. Now, there's other people that you go, oh, what that guy did was funny. How he said it was funny. So you have like extremes. So if you had like a, if you had like a balance bar, one of those, you know, like where are you on the scale? Are you more this way? Are you more that way? Are you more how you say it? Are you more what you say? Sometimes people want to have a balance of that. It just depends because not everybody's good at say acting things out, you know? So you really got to like figure out what's your style, you know? So understanding, I always go back to understanding why something is funny. And understanding what you're actually talking about is very important. Like if I was going to construct a joke about my cousin who don't got a job and just got a dog, what is this joke about now? Is the joke going to be about how my cousin makes bad decisions? And then I'm going to go on to talk about, you know, my cousin's dating life and or my cousin's like how he don't pay bills. Or is a joke about dogs? Is a joke about like how a dog can change, you know, make you feel like the world is okay. I mean, it could go wherever you want it to go. So understanding that point of view of like why something like what you're talking about to lend itself to be like, why is this thing funny? So that's just very important. I think what the joke is about, I think a lot of comics just don't think they know. I think they don't know what they're talking about and then the correlation of like why it's funny. I mean, sometimes you just have a disconnect, but like something you're doing, there's an essence of who you are and the crowd is laughing at that moment. So you maybe sometimes you think, oh, well, it's because of this joke. But, you know, if you intellectualize it and you go like, why are they laughing? Are they laughing because of what I look like or like are they commiserating with what I'm saying? So another thing with that is how you feel about something. That's another thing that dictates like why people laugh. You know, if I'm talking about something and I'm sad about it, then you could feel that. Are you laughing about how sad I am at something that maybe it's not supposed to be sad? So it's like a misdirection. Or are you like a lot of times comics, they're angry about something. you know, they're angry about the TSA at the airport. Let me tell you what happened at the TSA. You know, then they just had this whole thing. And then the crowd's laughing because they're like, oh, yeah, I that happens to me, too. Or they're laughing because they're like, wow, this guy really is upset. So there's a lot of different reasons. It's very layered why people laugh at you. And trying to figure out and understand who you are and how you can express things will determine what kind of comic you want to be. So just keep writing and writing until you can see the patterns forming, you know, like your brain works like it's just like music. Like if you ever like hear a Pharrell beat, like, you know, Neptunes, like you can hear it, like you hear a song and you go, oh, that's a Neptunes beat, because they have a certain rhythm. They have a certain style. They have their own stank they put on it. Your point of view is going to be your stank. And then people are going to kind of be like, oh, I can't wait to hear what this guy has to say about or this girl has to say about whatever it is they're talking about. So that's you understanding. Understanding your point of view. So you got to try to get there, but you can only get there by really looking at your jokes. A lot of problems people have as a comic is they don't know how to move forward. Like you might have a premise and you don't know how to move forward from that premise. And I always say move backwards. You know why this is funny to you. Make your setup explaining why you think this is funny. It could be short, simple words, short, simple sentences. Like, you know, it's like, I used to have this joke about like, I don't like being a designated driver. This is a good example of another reason. This is a good example of like why, you know, people interpret things however they want to. So like I used to have this joke. I say, I don't like being a designated driver because it's like taking care of autistic kids by the end of the night. Now, there are people who are involved with autistic kids or who have an autistic kid, and they hear that joke and they think I'm being disparaging of just about autistic kids, or I'm talking some shit about autistic kids. And I'm saying literally, like, do you know how it is to be with autistic kids? That is how it can be when people are drunk. They look very similar. You know, as you explain it like that and you talk about it, you might be like, well, maybe you shouldn't joke about that. But no, within the moment, within the split second of like how you're supposed to take that, it's not supposed to be, you know, some, you know, jab. But that's some one of the things you're going to have to worry about is like interpreting. Like, I don't know if that was a good joke or not. I don't, you know, you just have to make that choice. You have to decide, like, this is the kind of stuff I want to talk about. And you have to own it. Like, I really, like, if whatever you say, don't apologize for it. Like, don't apologize for it on stage, especially. Because the crowd will feel that. If you're on stage and you're like apologizing for saying like, oh, I didn't really mean to say this, they're going to feel that. And then they're going to say, yeah, you shouldn't be saying that. You got to go up there. You got to say it. You got to own it. Just own whatever you have to say, because people will respect you for that. And that respect will be translated into laughter. So what your jokes are about, why is it funny? And how are you emotionally connected to it? These are just some of the techniques that you have to think about when you're sitting down and you say, oh, I need to write some jokes. You know, you got, and I suggest you look at comedy too, like watch comedy and really analyze it and be like, why is what that person said funny to me? You know, it's like, it's not some abstract thing. You know, it's like when you listen to music, you know, you there's melodies and there's bars and there's like, you know, there's a chorus and, there's a certain format that the jokes have just fundamentally. You know, you have your setup, your punchline, your callbacks, your tags. You know, you could be a comic like that, or you could be somebody that does one-liners, or you could be somebody that's like, I want to do abrasive comedy, or I want to do slapstick comedy. I want to do cerebral comedy. Whatever you decide that's going to be, find a comic that does that same kind of style and just watch that formula unfold and ask yourself, oh, what are they talking about right now? You know, don't be confused. Don't let buzzwords make you feel like, oh man, I can't say this because I said this word, this taboo word, and now the whole joke becomes about that. But, you know, that's just a whole other discussion, because that's just like why people are really sensitive. But you can't worry about people being sensitive. You just got to keep on the path. So write a lot. Keep writing, even if you think it's dumb. Eventually, if you can start getting stage time, you're going to write on stage and you're going to go up with a concept. Okay, you know what? Right now, I want to talk about voting. Like right now I have jokes where I'm talking about voting. I'm talking about the voting process, how I wasn't really prepared for voting. I didn't know this stuff. The pamphlets came and I had read all these things and I was like, I don't know who these judges are. So it was like, I'm trying to develop it into a point of like, this is how I feel about this. And am I trying to give a message about voting? Like underneath what I'm talking about, am I getting on the crowd? Because I feel like voting is, people aren't really informed about voting and I'm trying to show them, hey, none of you fucks are informed. You know, is that my message? And is that funny? You know, so as I'm going through the process, you go through this trial and error where you're going to say things and you're going to be like, okay, I don't know if that part worked. And that's why you have to perform. Record your performances. Make sure you try to record, even if it's just a voice recording, so you, and listen to it. Listen back to it. And that's going to be hard because a lot of people don't like hearing their own voice. But you got to go back and listen to it so you can be like, oh, I didn't say that word right. Or, ooh, maybe I should have paused there. And then you'll start to analyze. Like right now we're intellectualizing stand-up. We're talking about it in these like, you know, why is it funny? What are you talking about? What's your point of view? When you actually do it, you got to forget about all this and just naturally just do what comes natural. With practice, you're going to start to hone in what your technique is. So, but definitely you got to start with writing, hey, I think this is funny. Because at first, when you first start writing jokes, it's going to be hacky. You're going to think you're brilliant. You know, you're going to think like, you know, oh man, no one's ever thought of this. No. But trust me, whatever you're thinking of, people have thought of it. Someone's already done it. So you have to put your own stank on it. What do you feel about this particular subject? And it's hard. And like, you know, you got like Trump is in office. So a lot of comics talk about Trump. But they're going to talk about the same things when things happen in the news and the media. So you have to learn your point of view of like, this is what I feel about it. This is my take on it. In my last special, I was talking about the national anthem. And, you know, it was like, this is my take. This is how I process it, you know. So I'll bring up something and then I'll put it in another situation that makes it sound ridiculous. You know, so in my special, I talk about, you know, I think we should get rid of the national anthem, you know, because you can't just have a ceremony whenever you want. You know, it's like if you went to the supermarket and church broke out. So then I do an act out because that's my thing. I love acting things out. I love like, and by the way, stand-up comedy is very much acting. The audience is your scene partner and you have to listen to them. Like you get a vibe of like when they don't find something funny or when they're paying attention to you or when they're, or maybe, and you even get a vibe sometimes when they don't like it. So you have to listen. But anyway, that's my style. So I'll bring up something sort of serious. I'll say how I feel about it. And then I'll say why, instead of explaining why I don't like this, because I'm not a wordsmith like that, I just put myself in the situation that'd be ridiculous. So I'll act it out like I'm in the supermarket, like price check on aisle 7. And then a reading from the book of John, according to, you know, and then you just have this funny visual of me. Then I kneel down on the ground like I'm doing the communion. So you just get this like, I'm just painting a picture that way. So you have to find out what your style is, you know. You know, at first when you do it, you're going to be a little preachy. I don't think that ever goes away, by the way. When you first think of something, you want to be preachy. It's in your mind, too. It's crazy. Like when you come up with a joke, like these thoughts are in your mind and you know why it's funny because you're processing in your mental computer. So you're like, well, it's funny because of boom, 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 boom. And you don't even realize like 1,000 things might be going on in your head that make this thing funny to you. And then you go on stage and you have to try to express all of these thoughts in your head in one sentence or in a paragraph. And that's the art of stand-up comedy, is expressing something with visual words, or being able to be someone that can articulate things that people will understand. Like this, you just have to find out what your style is. But anyways, I don't even know if this is helping, but I'm just on here talking about shit, because when you do a podcast, you got to talk about stuff. But anyway, just remember, why is the joke funny to you? This joke is funny to you. Like, so for me, I was thinking, this joke is funny to me because of this. That's your setup. You're setting it up in there. And then what is this joke about? Obviously, you're going to need to express that clearly. And then how do I feel about this? that also is within the joke. And then if you're a physical person, you might want to do, you might do an act out, you know, just like you're creating a scene. And then that's why people are laughing, because they now relate to that more. That to me is easier than these people that have to use just words. I admire people that, like, they can set a stage with just a sentence or two and you're there. That's a gift, you know? If you're like an animated person like me, then, you know, you're going to like be up here. You know, one of my most funniest jokes to me when I first was coming up was like, I would be like, you know, I have hairy knuckles, you know? And then, like, I would talk about going to the Middle East and how people in the Middle East are hairy, you know? And I would be like, you know, people would laugh. And then I'd be like, especially if there's Middle Eastern people in the crowd, you know? Because when I went to the Middle East, I was in the Middle East doing this. That's what was crazy. I was like, oh, you guys are hairy. And then I'd be like, I don't know what the women are laughing at. You just as hairy. You need a razor this big. And I would get the microphone stand and be like, and then I would do a razor sound into the microphone. And then I would act out like, and I'm shaving my eyebrows and shaving my underarms. And I would put the mic down like I was shaving my crotch. And it just was one of those things that, like, people just died, you know, every single time. Because it's just such a silly thing. So sometimes you can craft a joke or an act. The reason why I like act outs, because it's very much like music. Like, you can hear your favorite song over and over and over again. So what I love about act outs is that, you know, even if people have heard the joke, they might sit here and be like, oh man, he's going to do that thing and it's going to be so funny. You know, my buddy Bobby Lee is like that. Bobby is just such an animated character on stage, and his set is like, he'll do the same set, like, you know, sometimes like for a year, and you're just sitting in the back like, I can't believe I'm laughing at this again. But it's because of how he does it, and you believe him every time. So that's like the sign of someone that is a good performer, good entertainer. And then there's other people who, like, they just can't say the same thing over and over again, and they're just so intellectual that they have to, like, oh, I have to do a different set now, or, oh, that was last, you know, month, now I'm talking about this. And, you know, that's a gift too. You know, it's just like I say, there's no right or wrong way. So remember, why is it funny? What are you talking about? And I guess my last tip is, remember this, try to work backwards if you get stuck. So a lot of times you're writing something and you're like, I don't know where to go. So if you have this thing that you know is funny and you can figure out how to explain it, then you know what? Work back and lead into it. Because then this becomes maybe a better callback, or it becomes a tag, or it becomes like, you know, it just becomes like, you know, the rule of threes are important. You know, you talk about something, you do three things, you know, this could be one of the three now. And now you're still in the same vein. You're still in the same subject. I mean, me personally, I like to stay on subject. There's no right or wrong way. I keep saying that. But sometimes you could stay on subject. So, like, if I'm talking about going to the DMV, then maybe my whole set right now, the 10 minutes, is going to be my experience of going to the DMV, waiting in line, the eye test or the driving test, or, you know, the lady behind the counter, or, you know, just whatever all the experience. Because let's say if you're talking about, like, right now we're talking about stand-up comedy. If I all of a sudden start talking about science, it might be weird. So staying on subject is a way to keep you, you know, to delve into your point of view. Because if you talk about the same thing more and more and more and more, you're going to find yourself, like, finding some nuggets. But get some stage time. Find out where the open mics are in your area. They used to have a thing called Chuckle Monkey when I was first coming up. I don't think it's a website anymore, but it was like a list of all of the open mics. I'm sure there's something like that out there. Maybe if I find something, I'll put it in the comments underneath the video to figure out, like, where you can go to do open mics. But you should find it wherever you are. You know, wherever you are, like, find a place. There's always some cafe. There's always some place doing open mics. And just go up there and do it. Get past your fear and just do it. Who cares if it's funny or not, or who cares if you don't know what the hell you're doing? Because you're not making money. This is just for you to learn and grow. So find that open mic. Get off your ass. Don't be afraid. Just do it. You know, like I said in the beginning, I suggest that you take a class if you've never done it before, because it really is a comfortable environment. Like, when you... it feels good. You're just in there with other people and you know, you guys are commiserating, you know, the fear you have, you get a peer group. And then those are the people that you're going to start going to open mics with too. So I remember I took a class when I first started, and my first performance was at the Comedy Store. And, it, you know, then, you know, everything else is history after that. So, you know, find a class, keep writing, get off your ass, get out there and perform. If it doesn't work out, you know what, at least you tried. But those people that are serious about it, you got to keep going and you can't stop. You're going to have horrible sets. You're going to have a horrible time. You're going to hate the people there. You're going to fight with other open micers. There's going to be people who are going to tell you, you stole my joke. That's my joke. People always think they own subjects, you know. But quick story. I remember when I first started long, long time ago. This was my early, before I quit and then came back. Jurassic Park was like a big movie. That's how long ago this was, y'all. 90 something, you know? And then I had this joke about Jurassic Park, like the biggest movie of the year, $300 million in the box office. So comics think that they own the right to talk about this movie that everybody fucking saw. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, I had this joke about, like, this is terrible, by the way, but it was like, my mom was trying to hook me up with somebody. And I was saying it was a fat girl, and I knew she was coming because, you know, it was a Thanksgiving. I remember it was a Thanksgiving joke. So, like, I was like the older girl. I knew she was coming because, you know, it was like I would go boom, you know, like Jurassic Park, and I'd be like, the cranberry sauce was jiggling. You know, that even talking about it is just stupid. But I had some other jokes about, you know. And then, like, this comic came up to me like, yo, man, you doing my Jurassic Park jokes. Like, motherfucker, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? Like, when somebody comes up to you about something that is in the news or something that is, like, not personal to them, and they acting like you taking their joke, tell them to go fuck themselves, okay? Because that pisses me off. Accusing people of stealing is just as bad as stealing if you don't have proof. I remember I had some comic buddies. They all had this dumb joke about how hunting is not a sport because the animals aren't playing. There's so many comics to do this joke about this, and they think they're so brilliant. And then they see somebody else doing it, and they're like, yo, man, that's my hunting joke. You all should go fuck yourself. That's how I feel about that. You know, it's like you're not that. And then you look online, and there's black and white footage of comics doing the same joke. I mean, you just have to find your own take on it. I mean, that's just what happens. And there are going to be jokes that you just can't talk about anymore. A classic example is airplane food. So many comics were traveling back in the 70s, 80s, and then everybody had an airplane food joke. Then that just became one of those things that, yo, dude, comics don't talk about airplane food anymore. Another one like that as an example is, the side effects of medicine. Like, you see a commercial and then they do the side effects. If you're doing a joke about that, stop. Just stop now, okay? Because that's not funny. You know, people are going to be like, ugh. But we all still have jokes like that. Like, we think that, I want to be the first person to have a take on this. It's just not. I had this new joke, even right now, where I'm talking about, you know, I want self-driving cars because I don't want to talk to the Uber driver, you know. And in fact, that should be on the app. Don't talk to me. So that's my joke. That's how I do it, right? And one of the waitresses at this comedy club I go to at the Laugh Factory, Shelby, she sent me a message. Oh, I'm so glad you're doing my joke, because she wrote on her Facebook as if this chick thinks I'm looking at her Facebook. But anyway, she's like, oh, I did this joke. And I was like, damn. Like, then I thought, of course, there's probably comics all over the freaking country who's doing I don't want the Uber driver to talk to me. So you catch yourself sometimes and you're like, oh man, I thought it's just funny to you. But as long as you own it and just, you know, just put it out with your own energy and point of view, and then you'll just move on, you know. Last tip is, don't fall in love with your material. This is why. Don't fall in love with it to the point where you're out there like, that's my joke. This is my joke. A lot of new comics act like that. When you're a new comic, you're going to be like, you're going to think these words are so precious. And just remember, the words and the jokes are not what make you. You make you. You're the one that makes this funny. You're the one people are going to want to see. So don't make excuses. You hear somebody doing a joke. Oh, man. Okay, very, very last story. I used to have this joke about Jesus on the cross. you know, because I would be like, you know, Jesus is about Jesus being in shape, you know, then I'd be like, he's up there showing off. And I would do like this, you know. And then, like, I saw, like, so many other people had these jokes about, oh, Jesus has six-pack abs and this and that. And then people come to you, like, they think that's so original. And they come at you like, yo, man, that's my joke. That's kind of my joke. And you're just like, I used to, oh, in the beginning, I was like, are you kidding me? You mean you think you own Jesus? That's what you're telling me right now. You think talking about Jesus, you have the, you've cornered the market on talking about Jesus. So then you know what you do? As I became an older comic, I knew that, okay, got to move on from that. Okay, last story as an example. In my special, I have a joke about, you know, how it's not as racist as we think it is. You know, because when you go to soccer matches and you go to soccer matches in Europe and they're throwing bananas at black players. And then I say, if one banana hit LeBron James, you know, and then I go on to say, and originally I would go on to joke and say, like, you know, I would make the reference to Banana Gate. That's how I said it, in reference to what I was talking about. And then Chappelle comes out with a special and he has a whole thing about Banana Gate in his special, his own thing. So then I have people coming up to me like the one of the managers at the Comedy Store. He came up to me and said, yo, Erica, you know, Chappelle's special just came out and he, you know, but you can't, you know, Banana Gate. So, you know, I didn't know he was doing that. I didn't see it before he saw it. I know I was doing it, but like, that's how it goes. Somebody more famous than you, or even not more famous, don't even matter if they're famous or not, but somebody that gigantic, if they go on and do a special and they say something and you have a similar joke, guess what, guys? It ain't your joke anymore. And then you move the fuck on. Don't fall in love. And I know how easy it is to fall in love with your material. Fuck, you're just like, that's my joke. I love doing it. But trust yourself that you are going to find other things to talk about and you're going to bring that stank to it. Find out what your comedy stank is and put it on everything that you say. But anyways, y'all, thank you for listening to Riffin' with Griffin. This is episode 8. Next week, oh man, I got a special episode coming next week. It's my first ever guest, and we're going to be at a new location. I'm still going to be doing stuff here, but this is going to be at a special location. That's where I'm going to be doing my guests. But I don't know. I actually might have guests come here too, but look in for next week for a special episode. But anyway, this has been Riffin' with Griffin, and I really appreciate everybody that's listening. I love your comments, and if you still got theme songs for me, send them out. And I appreciate you. Thanks a lot.